And welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection Radio Show. Here, Jeremy, myself, with Chris. Week one is here.
It is finally here.
Finally.
Finally.
Check before we get to the show, the obligatory station ID, MWCConnection.com, at MWCConnection on Twitter. Hey, join our Facebook page, Mountain West Connection. Let's try to get to 1,000 likes throughout the season. We're about 700. That'd be nice. Like us.
Absolutely.
We post stuff over there. That's what we're getting at. And it's finally, after the months, since January, we're ready
to go. Literally months. Football has returned.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Why? Okay, I love college football. I'll watch the NFL every now and then. I like the Dallas Cowboys. Whatever, don't hit me in the face. I like the Houston Texans.
Don't laugh.
Yeah, don't laugh at me. Don't hate me and don't laugh at me. Maybe that gives me some sympathy points if I like the Texans after last year. But what I'm getting at is, because I've had this discussion before, what makes college football so great? What do you think it is?
I'm going to keep on, every single time somebody asks me this question.
Because I don't really know. I know, but I don't, it's hard to explain.
Every time this question gets asked me, why do you love college football so much? Why is it not better than the NFL? Every time, I always like to point to the first chapter of Bill Connolly's College Football Stats and Stories, where he just starts out talking about, the traditions, how the teams warm up, how the teams run onto the field, the traditions, the old and young uniting in something. There's spirit, there's more of a competitive nature in the college football universe than there ever is in the NFL. You know, these kids don't treat it as a job. There's, even though, now they're going to be scholarship and now they're going to have stipends to it, but they still treat it as a point of pride. It comes back to all this. I'm going to use a word here that the shield ball, the NFL people are going to get upset at me for.
Okay.
Passion. You look at the NFL today, how much passion is there in the players? How much passion is there in the fans? Yeah, the fans are always passionate. But I think it's less at the NFL than it is for college. And I think part of that goes back to this. Go to Laramie, where it's a town of what? 50,000, 60,000?
Oh, you're probably overestimating that by a lot.
Probably.
I'm going to double check. You keep going.
Yeah, 50, 60,000 people in Laramie.
Actually,
that's during the school year.
Cut that in half, 31,000.
During the school year?
It just says, I went to Wikipedia, 31,000 is the census in 2012.
Okay, I'm just going to go say, during the school year, that number grows because of students on campus, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They have a full, 25, 30,000 seat stadium, and it's full. To the brim.
I think the stadium is larger. I think the War Memorial is larger than that, than 35,000.
Maybe it's 50, 60,000.
Well, no. I think it's close to pushing 40.
Well, what?
No, no. Oh no, it is. That's Arkansas. Sorry, same name for it. Excuse me. It showed up as 55,000. That's the apparently the Arkansas Razorbacks also are War Memorial Stadium.
Only at 55,000. But anyway. Well, even let's take Arkansas for an example. How many people are in Fayetteville? What, 80,000? Maybe at most? Probably less than that.
No, let me tell you this. Norman, Oklahoma. Look at that. Where's that at?
Middle of nowhere.
Provo, Utah. Not in the middle of nowhere. Somewhat metropolis area. 65,000 seat stadium. Eugene, Oregon.
Eugene, Oregon, I can tell you, has a population of maybe 100,000.
Oh, okay. And like Beaverton.
Oh, no, it's over 100,000 now, and still the school is, Autzen Stadium holds 55,000.
Manhattan, Kansas.
Lawrence? Yeah.
No, man, yeah, either. Lawrence or Manhattan, I'm just saying. Those type of deal. Those things.
Ann Arbor, Michigan. You have the largest stadium in the United States sitting at 110,000 in a place that I don't know how far it is to the nearest city.
College Station, Texas.
College Station, 80,000 seats.
Soon to be, no, I think it's going to be passing 100,000 after the recent upgrade.
Okay, fine.
And that is 90 miles from the next largest city in Houston.
But it comes back. It comes back to all of this. Why do so many people attract to literally the middle of nowhere?
Is it just because you went to the school, maybe? I think that's part of it. It's like you can actually say, I was part of this because you went there.
But that comes back to my passion. That comes back to passion and pride.
But the NFL clearly is a better product.
Yeah.
Clearly. But it's, while it is the most popular sport, I would rather watch maybe Louisiana Lafayette versus Troy than I would, say, Bears-Jaguars.
I would take Louisiana Lafayette, Troy, over Indianapolis, New England.
Now you're talking crazy.
No, I'm not. You get 30,000 Raging Cajuns fans anywhere in a bar fight with some Patriots fans. Who's going to win that one?
Well, we know what Tom Brady's a model, so you know they're pretty boys.
I'm just saying, it goes back to the passion of the game. It goes back to the passion of the sport. Everybody cares where they came from, where they went to school, where they have a sense of pride, where the players play, where there's the competitive nature.
I'll even go one step further, which makes no, like, it makes sense to me, but not to these guys. Okay, my first school I went to, Iona College. There technically was a football team, but nobody cared. It was a non-scholarship FCS and a bad one at that. I went there to do water polo. I'm from Texas. I had a bunch of guys on our team from Chicago, a bunch of guys from California. The guys from California, very, very, very casual sports fans. Not really. And they're wondering, our season was during the football season. So we would watch games in between games at hotel or whenever out to restaurants before we had to huddle, go back to the pool back and forth to play a couple of games, whatever we're doing that day. Listen on the radio for Sundays. Their huge coach was a Bears fan from Chicago. This guy's wondering one weekend, why do you care about Illinois? Why do you care about University of Illinois? You're from Chicago. You have no ties to it. You're not there. He's like, well, I just live there and just because. His answer was just because, and I live nearby. I was kind of same thing. Before I came out to University of Utah and out here, University of Texas was the team I liked. I was just kind of there.
Hey, before I went to Boise State, I grew up in Eugene, Oregon. I'm a Ducks fan. I'll say it. Before Nike took over the Ducks.
I don't know. It's just where I just wanted to bring it up because football's here. You
throw it up. No, and I have another story about this, and I'm pretty sure I've talked about this on the podcast before.
Go for it.
But really quickly, I mean, this comes back to this. First grade, second grade, I had the same elementary school teacher. It came back to the Friday before game day. What would we be doing on Friday? What would you do on a typical Friday in elementary school on, you know, right before the weekend?
Stay up late and eat candy.
Stay up late, I meant in school.
Oh, in school. Spelling test? I don't know.
How about this? Learning the Oregon Ducks fight song and singing it.
There you go.
Where else? You don't see kids in school in you know, Chula Vista or La Jolla singing San Diego. For a Sunday game.
That might be an exception because that's a good fight song. I actually listened to a show. They did it years ago. It's NFL Rants and Raves. They did a fight song challenge. Obviously, the Chargers won. But there's teams, NFL, some don't even have a theme song.
You don't understand the point I'm getting at.
What's your point?
My point is, why? Sure, teams in the NFL don't necessarily have a fight song, but where else? Why else would you be singing the fight song for the local team? Not even your local high school team, your local college team. It's all about passion. It's all about pride. No matter how bad or how good your team is.
Or that we know your team.
Why do the Idaho Vandals still have fans?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Your team knows, you know, they have, even in your conference. I can honestly say there's no chance any team we cover will go to the playoff this year. No chance. Probably not in 5 years. No matter how good Boise State could be, San Diego State, even Chucky Keaton in Utah State.
Not going to happen. Probably not until it expands to 18 teams.
Yeah, not going to happen. But we still care. It's like opening day baseball. Oh, first day, every team has a chance. Really, they don't, but baseball's kind of weird and different. But again, if you like Georgia State, you like Akron, Northern Illinois, it doesn't matter. You're there. No, that's all we got. We're just kind of BSing. We got a lot of games to get to this week.
Absolutely. Like I said, should we get started off the rant and into the next rant?
What's your next rant?
The next rant is previewing these games.
That's right. Oh, sorry, I was thinking of something else. Here's what we have. Besides being college football nearly every day of the week, week one, Mountain West goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with the nightcap of Utah State at
Tennessee.
The Tennessee Volunteers, who are not making a bowl game. I'm calling it now. So, first game of the year. Chris is Boise State Broncos, of course. We had to start with them because they seemingly always play a good team week one. They go to the Chick-fil-A Classic and play in the Ole Miss with good old Bull Wallace at the quarterback and Hugh Freeze coaching the team up.
Dr. Bo at quarterback, Hugh Freeze at the coach, but Mississippi is missing the Nkandivche brothers.
One of them, not the good one.
One of them, not the good one.
Not Robert.
Okay.
They're missing him. They're missing one of their true freshman receiver. I think he got suspended for something. Not a DUI, but there is some issue. I'm trying to find it here. I didn't have it up out of the many tabs I've going. He wasn't going to make a big difference. Yeah, Sammy Epps. Here it is. He was supposed to play. Not going to be there. Bo Wallace was a third team quarterback. It's game one, so we know he's going to be healthy, even though he hasn't been healthy. Let me refresh that. He wants to make sure he's not going to miss a game because he's had 26 starts, but never really been 100%, but never missed any games. So he was a third-team SEC quarterback, but apparently that wasn't good enough for him in the SEC.
No, absolutely not.
With his laser precision passing, he likes to perform on the defenses. See, I got that in there for doctor and laser precision.
Yeah, no, I got it.
It's late. It's already late, folks.
Hey, you know what? He had a surgical touch.
Ah, there might be some cheesy puns. No, Bo Wallace, he's pretty good. He just kind of what he went off last year before he get to the game. Ole Miss was they were an okay team last year. They went to a bowl game. They might contend for the SEC West, probably not. He's not bad. 65% of his passes, 18 touchdowns, 10 picks. But what we really need to concentrate on is the coaching for Boise State. Also, I'm sure you're aware of this, but where did Hugh Freeze coach before Ole Miss?
Oh. He's at Arkansas, wasn't he?
Arkansas State. He preceded Brian
Harsin. That's right. Harsin. He was at Arkansas State.
Preceded Brian Harsin.
He was the one who kicked off the 4 years, four coaches, still winning conference titles.
He coached. This is his second year at Ole Miss.
Okay, so he didn't kick it off.
Mazan was the year before.
Yeah,
and so there's been plenty of good coaches. Yeah, he was at Arkansas State the year before, and he won the title. Like he was there. Yeah, Arkansas State, and he started offensive coordinator in 2010. And then eventually moved on to, no, excuse me, yeah, he was there, 2011. He was there 2 years ago. But still, he's one of the coaches mixed in to win, five straight conference titles for Arkansas State, and that's where Brian Harsin came from. And here's what I want to get at. You see all the predictions. There we had our underdog poll, which I don't really like the name, but that's what we're going with, I guess, for the top 15 group of five guys. Boise's what was Boise 6 out of that group?
Were they really like break that law? I thought they were third.
Let me double. Sorry, no, maybe that was my poll. But here's my thing.
I thought Boise State was second.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't have it pulled up here. I was getting up now. But what I'm getting at, look, did you read the comments?
Let's just put it this way: Mississippi is sitting at -10 in the Vegas odds.
Yeah, they're -10. But what I'm getting at, did you read the comments about everything for what they're everybody mentioned for Boise State?
Yeah, especially the one where I just kind of laughed it off.
they were. Sorry, I was thinking of. I looked at so many polls. I looked at your poll, my poll, Matt's poll, putting up the main poll. Yeah, Boise second, won first place vote, second place. People seemed. I don't want to blame people for not saying you don't know your stuff, because there's a lot of stuff I don't know. And for any, a lot of subjects, whatever it may be. But
we really don't know until the end of the year. That's the.
But point. What I'm getting at, there's a good assumption, because people are like, oh, new coach, new quarterback. You lost to Marcus Lawrence. You lost Charles Leno Jr. Matt Paradise is gone. Well, yeah, but Harsins was there during. Wasn't he? If I'm correct, quarterback's coach through the first Fiesta Bowl.
Yes.
Moved to OCU and Hawkins went to Colorado.
Yes.
And then left for Texas and Arkansas State. So he was there through 2010. So he was up there before Kellen Moore's final year. He basically left after they lost to Nevada that year. That's when he was gone.
He is partially responsible for Boise State's. To Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, and as we stated so much last year after that Washington game, disgusted in the lack of offensive innovation, and I'm not talking Statue of Liberty, reverse, hook and ladder, the...
No, we're just talking
motion.
Tight end shifts.
Pre-snap movement, guys. That's all we're talking about, not forcing the pistol. It was bland, predictable, because for those who don't know, I'm not saying I'm a football expert by any means, but what the pre-snap movement does, the defense has to show something. If you go and look, we'll get this later, but there's a good piece on SB Nation about Craig Bull with North Dakota State. They could they're an interesting offense. They would go two backs, full back, keep it tight. They'd run up the basically run up the line, but then they would go four wide, one running back in the backfield, go in motion. They would know if it's zone or man, depending what the linebacker did. That's what motion does. And there's also a reason why Norm Chow was successful with Vince Young at Tennessee Titans. Pre-snap movement helped him a lot. This is what will be brought back for Boise State. And with Boise bringing back Matt Miller, Sean Williams-Rhodes, obviously Jay Ajayi, is it Dennis Burrow as a tight end, correct?
Yeah. The former offensive coordinator at Boise State, who Chris Peterson somehow mistakenly brought with him, Robert Prince to Washington with him. I have no clue. But
well, he wouldn't Washington, take. Well,
you know what? That fits Washington style more. But you know, and one bit Bronco Nation under God, Obnug, sums it up best when they went to the team's scrimmage. And the team's scrimmage while he was kind of just doing a running diary type thing.
Yeah.
It comes back to, you know. Pre-snap shift. Motion. Somebody pitched me. I'm in heaven. And that was 6 minutes into the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes back. You know, he comes back with pre-snap shift again. It's hilarious because it's just like, that's what we were missing. We knew that's what we were missing. And for some reason, it didn't do it.
So why do you think... If it's a double, you said it's a 10-point favorite for Ole Miss, right?
Right.
Why is it that high?
Well, so for the first reason is flat out Mississippi SEC team. Boise State does have some questions with them.
What are the big questions for Boise State then? Because I even when people say new quarterback, I kind of laugh at that as well because.
I remember our Boise State preview podcast. I said Boise State's biggest question mark is outside of Matt Miller and Shane Williams-Rhodes, who are the Broncos going to pass to?
Yeah, we got Jay Ajayi to run the ball,
right? Which nobody will care. That's the thing with when Harsin was the offensive coordinator. I distinctly remember this. It didn't care. Nobody knew who Titus Young was in 2007 until he started making catches. Nobody knew who Austin Pettis was. Nobody even knew who Matt Miller was until they're like, oh, freshman, tearing up the Georgia defense.
Yeah.
It's back up to the point where, okay, we shouldn't care. If we have a reliable offensive coordinator, if we have a reliable offensive playbook, our catches are going to come where they're going to come. And it's probably going to come out of somebody we've never heard of or we said had the potential to be great but never really figured it was going to happen this year. And it's going to happen. And sorry, those are my Homer. Those are my Homerism goggles right there.
But you're not too far off either. Who the heck was DeMarcus Lawrence on defensive end coming in as a JUCO transfer and the best defensive player in the league pretty much for 2 years?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I had no clue who DeMarcus Lawrence was.
I'm just saying, like, they bring in, like, Ole Miss right now, there's, if you go to I like to go to prestacian.com, they calculate all the polls, not just the AP and coaches poll. They do SI, Phil Steele, USA, Sporting News. They're at 17th overall. But yeah, if you go to the SEC West, which is probably the toughest division, that and probably the Pac-12 North, I would say. I'd go North. South is pretty good, but not quite there. But if you go, they're predicted to finish 4th, which is fine. Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Mississippi. Not even close, and they're close to Texas A&M. I get there's a talent discrepancy from, as Craig James would say, I don't care if Indiana recruits better than Boise State ever does. Well, yeah, you're in the Big Ten, you're going to. You have a built-in advantage. But then you see all these games that happen and when things that could happen. But remember, we had our guy from, is his screen name Ghost of Jay Cutler? Is that who we had on from Red Cup Rebellion?
Yeah, when we previewed
that was June?
Yeah.
And if I recall, maybe I'm wrong, wasn't he more, not that he's confident, he assumed it would be a close game, didn't he, if I recall?
Yes.
I just think Ole Miss, here's my reasoning, they're not used to winning.
Since the 60s, at least.
Well, yeah, I saw the Book of Manning on the 30 for 30, so I kind of know a little bit about that, how it went down. But realistically, Boise State's known for winning. They always have to win. Every player in this team is a winner. They've lost, past couple years not as much, but you're still winning 8 to 10 games a year. Outside of last year, Ole Miss hasn't been that great. They won 8 games last year, but then they lose to the teams they should lose to. They got smoked by Alabama, lose to Auburn, Texas A&M lose to. They're lose to Missouri somehow. They're not a team that's used to getting all these wins. So that's why I'm thinking, last 2 years, they went to two. When Hugh Freeze has been there, they've been much better. But, like, some of these guys were on the team back in 2011 going 2 wins. You know what I mean? They're a team that's just okay. Excuse me. They're going to have talent. People are saying they're a dark horse SEC West title team. But it's like, remember the Georgia game? We're spending way too much time in this particular one, but we got a lot of FCS teams we're just going to gloss over. But remember the Georgia game? They're like, Georgia's going to roll them over. They got everything up against them. And then Boise essentially just ran them out of the Georgia Dome at home.
Yeah.
And you got Bo Wallace there. What is Ole Miss going to do to maybe, if the offense we expect to be better for Boise State, Ole Miss's defense? They were 7. They gave up almost 300. They gave up over 370 yards per game last year. And that's in the SEC outside of Texas A&M and maybe Alabama. Offenses aren't all that prolific. It's a defensive game out there.
Absolutely.
So what do you think? Like, and that puts them 370 games. It's not bad overall. It's still top third, but it's just an above-average defense, but it's mostly stopping the running game and not necessarily the passing. Because that's where I think, because you got to have Jay Ajayi. He's the key to the whole season. He's going to be the guy. If they're going to do well, I really think it's going to come behind him. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to be Homer and say they're going to win, but I think they're going to win. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be the homer and say that they're going to win.
Because this game is key if they're going to make a New Year's Day bowl. They can still lose this and be fine, but what do you think? Okay, let's just get to the down to it. How do you think it's going to play out? What do you think they can do against Ole Miss to maybe win?
I'm going to say if you can stick an extra, because Robert and Kim DJ plays defensive end, correct?
Yes, he does. He's very good.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, we played other very good defensive ends in the past. I would say if you can have...
Here's a good example real quick. Not that they're on the same level, but look at BYU's defense last year when they played them. Jay had 151 yards. and three of the four linebackers had a sniff at the NFL, and Kyle Van Noy is going to start for the Lions. And that's possibly the best defense they play, and that's probably the most comparable you could say for talent and size. But I think Ole Miss is probably a little bit better than that. Because Ndeechum's better than Kyle Van Noy would be.
Yeah.
Sorry, so continue with what you were mentioning there about that.
No, but so if you can find a way to double up Ndeechum and at the same time have Jay Ajayi burst through those holes, then you're going to have a heavy running game. It's going to force Ole Miss's, not just Ndeechum, but it's going to force the rest of their front seven to focus on the run, which will open up the pass tons.
It will. Ndeechum actually plays a defensive tackle. They run a 4-3, so he's kind of, a hybrid.
Still, 4-3. Stick a second guy on him.
Yeah, I know you still can. Put two guys on him, run the other side, because what they actually run.
And don't have Jay Ajayi go through the middle. Have him go on the outside then.
They actually run the interesting 4-2-5. That's what their setup is. That's quite interesting there. But it's week one. What are we supposed to know about all these teams, right? It's week one. But here's what
we're supposed to make predictions. That's all we're supposed to.
Yeah, let me actually, because we're just going to keep track of our games, so I'm actually pulling that up right now to keep track of these games. So, are you saying outright victory?
I'm going to say it's going to be close. It's going to be within three either way, and I'm going to pull the homer card and say Boise State.
Okay, Boise State covers and wins.
I'm going to say they're going to at least cover no matter what.
Oh, so do you want – so because I'm going to keep track of these. Do you want – you got to give something – so you think they're going to cover or are they going to win?
Well, you just said cover and win. I mean, as long as they're going to cover no matter what.
Okay.
Whether they win or not is the question, and I think they're going to win.
Okay, that's what I was asking. Okay. A win. Okay. I agree. Cover for minimum. Minus 10, way too much. Even when Boise wasn't great last year, they were outside of the Washington – well –
BYU.
Washington game. BYU game's a bit different with Hedrick Guinness real first start, but I'm gonna say they're gonna cover but lose. It'll be but again, it's one of those things where I'm not gonna be. You shouldn't be shocked at this point if Boise State wins this game.
No, absolutely not.
All right, so that's the Boise State portion of the show. As we're 25 minutes in. Sorry, guys. All right. We have North Dakota, San Jose State that same night on ESPN3. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Boise State, Ole Miss, for those who are wondering. 8 p.m. Eastern, ESPN.
Oh, no, wait, North Dakota, not North Dakota State.
Yeah, not the former...
San Jose State wins.
Not the former Fighting Craig Bulls. This is the other team. North Dakota, who... It's a win.
It should be.
It's going to be a win. Jeez, I need a drink or something.
If they lose, that's going to be very indicative of San Jose State season.
And I believe it's going to be this will be the game, depending what they do in quarterback, because Ron Carragher is like, well, it could be Blake Jurek or Joe Gray, but we'll see how it goes. It is going to be this game. They're probably both going to play, just because they want to make sure they know what they're getting. Because they're going to win. It's a win no matter what. This will be a game if. They're going to decide, like, okay, you're a quarterback, if they're going to split it up or not. That's the kind of deal they want to be, where it's like, okay, here's what we have, but are we, you know what I mean? It's one of those type of deals. And they're going to win. We don't need to discuss the game. We'll find out who plays quarterback, how much, who's the real starter going forward from there. But that's a win. And let's go to Colorado State, Colorado, Friday night action. Doubleheader again Friday night. This is at 9 Eastern, 7 Mountain Time there in Denver. Rocky Mountain Showdown, CSU versus Colorado. This is always an exciting game. And as a programming note, if you have Dish Network, you're not getting this game on Fox Sports 1 unless there's a last-second deal to carry the game.
Boo.
You can get all the surrounding stuff on it, but just the games are some weird deal. They want more money to actually carry live college football. But this game, Colorado State, there's some – listen to our preview show the other day. There's people saying Garrett Grayson, Player of the Year. They're going to win the Mountain West title. They are the dark horse in the mountain, but I don't think they're going to do it. They do have – I think Garrett Grayson is probably the best thrower in the league, perhaps. But the problem with this game, they lost their whole offensive line.
If you look at the Vegas odds real quick.
What's that? I haven't checked.
Colorado has home field advantage. That's it. -3.
Well, it's a home game. I mean, it's a game in. It's not a.
It's a game in neutral field, but no matter what, the home team always gets -3.
No, not if you're playing in Denver neutral field. This is actually a
favorite. I'm going to look this up.
You're wrong. They're at home. If they were playing at home, they'd be it'd be -6 for Colorado and a pick 'em for CSU. And there are some concerns for Colorado State because D. Hart, the Alabama transfer, he probable to sprained ankle. He should play, but he's the backup, and he's never been really all that healthy in his career when he's at Alabama. He came here because of Jim McElwain was his former OC, and I think it was Terrence the other day talking about Joe Hansley is going to be the real deal at wide receiver, could be the player, one of the best players of the conference, which is true. Their wide receiver core is deep. Joe Hansley, Charles Lovett, and then you also have Rashard Higgins. This receiving core, I haven't looked at it too as close as I should have, but it's going to challenge what Boise State has throwing the ball. And even with San Diego State will throw a lot, but and even Utah State with their depth. This could possibly surpass what Boise State has on the receiving end of the field.
Absolutely.
But the only problem with the running game, Jason Oden, do you know what position he played last year?
No.
Defensive back. He's your starting running back.
That should be fun.
That's quite interesting. And Colorado, we know they had a quarterback issue in years past, and Colorado's still the worst team in the Pac-12, but it's not even close. I don't know what to make of them because they're just that bad, but this game's always pretty close. And it'll probably be close, but I think CSU has more talent. Not more talent, but better coach, better quarterback. They're deep at wide receiver. And look what Capri Bibbs did last year when he came off the bench after two injuries and ran up and down the field. And this basically is for his game where he showed that he moved up to depth chart after that.
I can't find that on Google search right now, but I know I'm right.
What are you looking for? Oh, okay, fine. You can say you're right. Whatever.
But yes, you're right. Capri Bibbs moving up the depth chart after that game. Colorado State made a game of it until the defense kind of allowed the offense to pull away.
The only issue is offensive line. They lost everybody. They had the best offensive line last year. That's why Capri Bibbs left the NFL, because no point in staying. That's where Colorado could take advantage if they can get past an inexperienced line.
Yeah.
And then we got the defense. Everybody knew Shaq Barrett last year. We got Corey James and Tyree Simmons, who are very good. They have slight injuries at practice, but they should be fine. I'm calling for a blowout for Colorado State. They're going to show up and just roll Colorado off the field.
So what's your final score?
Oh, you want a final score?
I don't have a final score, but what's, you say blowout? I mean,
two touchdowns.
Okay, I'm gonna go. It's gonna be close. I'm gonna say 7 to 10 points. Colorado State win.
Okay. All right. I'm actually putting notes here. I need to
Look how he's writing this down, keeping us to our word.
I'm going to. No, I realize I'm writing it down. I have the Ole Miss, Boise State. I put Chris win, Jeremy lose. Like, who does that mean? Who's gonna win? And who's gonna lose? Our interlude music there, thank you.
No, it's not. 30 seconds for station identification, right?
It's 10 seconds.
By the time you finish writing, it's going to be 30 seconds.
No, I got it. So Colorado State's going to win. How do you see if CU's going to pull it out? Because even with the neutral side, I think it's still pretty 50-50 for a fan base.
I think the way Colorado is going to pull it out is they're going to win the turnover battle by basically completely overrunning their Colorado State's offensive line and forcing Derek Grayson into bad situations.
That's my concern, but I think with going three deep wide receiver, and Colorado also doesn't have the, who's that dude last year on who crushed him in punt return in the deep pass? Who was Paul Richardson. He's gone, so you don't have to worry about him tearing him up. But I It's just with CU, man. They new quarterback again with Sean Uren, sophomore. They do have a fairly reasonably experienced offensive line, kind of offensive line, a couple seniors, a few sophomores. I just, their CSU is going to surprise, and I think this CU is getting better, but I'm going to Rams are going to pull it out. So that's what we're going. Next game, UNLV versus Arizona, Friday, late Friday night on ESPN, 10:30 Eastern time.
I'm calling right now Chris's stupid upset pick of the week. Vegas odds have Arizona as a minus 23.5 over UNLV.
No, that's ridiculous. If I had money, I would run 90 minutes to my nearest establishment and do include that in one of a parlay and a few other games. But here's the thing. Before Sunday, I don't know if Rich Rodriguez was just screwing with people, but Arizona was looking down the barrel to the quadrant system with four quarterbacks as quad
starters. He was taking Grandpa Norm's advantage.
Normie's advice. They made a change. It's actually it's going to be Anu Solomon, Bishop Gorman, Vegas kid. Redshirt freshman. He beat out former USC blue chipper Jesse Scroggins and former Texas Connor Woods.
So, a little quick tidbit on Anu Solomon, because he did go to...
Connor Brewer.
Yeah, so he did go to Bishop Gorman, which is literally right behind where I live. The number one ranked team in the nation.
They're always a very good team.
Always a very good team, but they are listed this year as so. This is a guy who received offers from Arizona, Arizona State, Illinois, UCLA, and UNLV.
Top 100 guy.
Top 100 guy. This guy, I mean, absolutely ridiculous. I could probably look up. He had some ridiculous stats last year.
Here's something as well. While you do that, it doesn't mean...
Here you go. Okay, here you go. Here's your stats.
From high school.
2011. I guess this was the last year he played. 149 pass attempts completed out of 226 attempts. He passed for 3,000 yards. 43 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Rushed for 402 yards.
Solid.
Considering, wait. How many games does high school play? 10?
No, I'd say if they went to the state title, so I would probably say 15 max.
15 max. Those numbers are huge for college.
That's 3 touchdowns a game if they go. And 15 is probably high. I know in Texas they can play as many as 17. But, yeah, say they play 13 to 15 if we went to the title game, probably closer to 15. But still, that's...
Those are Heisman-type stats if you were in college.
Yeah, it's... Ooh. But here's the thing. While Coach Rich Rod, says he's his quarterback, here's a quote from his announcing it. Anu Solomon will be the starter Friday night, and as I told the quarterbacks last night, it doesn't mean he plays the whole game or that he'll be the starter the rest of the season.
We have a true quadrant system.
There's still more here. But, the gigantic but there. I also don't want any quarterback to go in there and think that as soon as I make a mistake, I'm coming out. That's not going to be the case either.
So,
and okay. Quote. Oh, wait, there's one more.
Oh,
sorry.
God, seriously?
Well, besides he's playing the best of the four quarterbacks, that's good. I thought he deserved the right to start the first game. I don't know who the next guy is, but I told all four to be ready to play because all four could play.
Oh my! So
sound the alarm.
Sound the alarm. Yeah, seriously, sound the alarm. My biggest concern about Anu Solomon, outside of your starting a freshman, is the fact that he's 6'1", 185, and that's his statistics. That's his listed statistics. He could be smaller.
True. Arizona's also,
especially now with a newly transferred defensive tackle Josh Shirley. For UNLV from Washington.
Familiar with them?
But no, not familiar, because the guy's a freshman, remember?
Redshirt. No, I mean the team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, be familiar with Josh Shirley, because he's going to do things.
He may not start, but he'll see a lot of time this game.
He's going to, if he gets crushed, Solomon, yeah, the backup's coming in real quickly.
Whoever that may be, and so this changes.
I don't understand how you have a 23.5-point spread at the beginning of the season. UNLV, for as bad as they are,
they went to a bowl game. They have arguably the best wide receiver in the conference, and possibly who's better than him out west. You got a couple guys from USC. You got Ty Montgomery at Stanford. Maybe
a... and you have a JUCO, and you have a JUCO quarterback who passed for a ridiculous number of yards and number of touchdowns.
And JUCO, it's I don't care if you're a JUCO quarterback. You got to prove it to me. I don't care. I don't. Whatever. No, it doesn't.
Is that the same thing as high school?
No. Not that I trust him more, but if you go to JUCO and it's like, okay, here's my reasoning behind that. Not to go too far off topic, but big deal at University of Utah. Number one rated recruit back when Utah was in the Mountain West. Number one JUCO recruit, wide receiver, high jumper, Olympic caliber player. Did squat. They also have like the best defender. Like the guy, I think they got the best offensive and defensive player, number one JUCO guys. Neither did squat. So it's like, if it's a JUCO guy, I don't care. You got to show it to me. Just because I've been burned too many times following certain high-level guys from JUCOs going somewhere and doing nothing. But in this case,
so anyway,
not to make an exception, but Nick Sherry is a former quarterback who started 10 games as a freshman and a couple last year. So you assume this guy has something to prove, and that he's, or he proved enough to earn this spot. And you got Marcus Sullivan and Devontae Davis. That's possibly, again, we're mentioning
the best 1-2 combo in the conference.
Yeah, you got that. You got, like I said, Colorado State's right there. This is one of the top three at worst with the best receiver in the league, in my opinion.
So I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm going to go ahead and say this game is in the 30s to 40s for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
UNLV covers.
Okay.
And once again, stupid upset pick of the week. UNLV wins.
Because I remember during our preview show, we were not really caring. We're not that we're not caring, but we weren't too confident with this team. We were, but we weren't. Because their defense has never been very good. They've had, remember the Minnesota game last year? It's like, come on.
Oh, yeah.
You got the stupid block punt return, a huge 50-yard run, and this is another dual-threat quarterback because you're playing in Rich Rodriguez's scheme. You're at Tucson, but they're going to cover for sure because Arizona's not that good. They're good, but they're not that good.
Arizona's not competing for a Rose Bowl. I mean, sorry, Arizona fans, you're going to have to wait another... Well, you actually haven't made a Rose Bowl.
They have not. They are projected, if you go to the state, again, stacey.com, they're projected fourth in the Pac-12. South. They're not beating UCLA. They might finish third. They might be able to beat Arizona. You never know. But this is a team, and they lost Kadeem Carey. We should have led with that. Kadeem Carey, best running back in the country pretty much last year. He's gone. They're bringing in this guy. They got Terrace Jones-Grigsby, redshirt senior. 5'7", 195. Come on, what's he going to do? They have multiple. I don't know how accurate his depth chart is just because of the way Rich Rodriguez did the quarterback thing, but no solidified starter at wide receiver in two of the spots. Their offensive line is going to be good because it's starting upperclassmen, yet your center's only two. If these weights are legitimate, there's reason to be concerned. Your left tackle's only 293, and he's 6'8". Your left guard's 281. Your center's 286. If you're in the Pac-12, you got to be at least 295 and above at every offensive line spot. So there's, and then I don't know. They're gonna cover. I'm gonna go with you. I'm going for the win. I'm going crazy with you, Chris.
Woo!
Bare minimum. They're gonna cover. I know we got burned last year versus that Minnesota game, but I'm going for the outright win. Is that too crazy? Do we need a sound effect for our crazy upset picks?
Woo!
Exactly. Woo! All
right. So anyway.
Yeah, I just think my main thing, how they got momentum, they got the bowl game back, they got the transfer in, they got Devontae Davis. UNLV just needs a running game, and Arizona's
defense. They have a running game. They got Shaq Moo.
Well, proven running game is to be debated. Just because he averaged, what, 10 yards a carry on how many carries, though?
Hey, fine.
And if you look at Arizona's defense, they were 8th in the Pac-12. 400 yards per game, so. So let's move, 5.5 yards per game, or per play, excuse me. But let's move on. Next game, slowly, Saturday.
Nichols State Air Force.
Saturday is dreadful. I'm so glad there's a lot of other games on Saturday. Really quick, Air Force, Nichols State. Air Force, right?
Watch for the upset. No, I'm just kidding. Air Force is bad, but they're not bad, that bad. Air Force is going to, should win this.
Nevada, Southern Utah.
Nevada. Nevada all the way. I mean, this is a game where Southern Utah is horrible.
Well,
I mean, they're bad in the FCS.
But normally, but however, they do have a quarterback down there. Transferred from BYU, Amon Olsen, who actually can throw better than their current starting quarterback by quite a bit.
Who, Jay Keeps?
He wishes he was there. No.
I'm sorry. That was bad.
No, that's not bad. Hey, I will appreciate and laugh at any Jay Keeps joke you bring my way. It is. I told everybody when he first came in what the deal was in the last show and everything, but that's enough. But no, Southern, what were they last year? They won what? Three games? They weren't very good last year. But they have a quarterback, which could make things interesting. They were okay last year. They're not that bad. They went to the playoffs and lost in the first round.
So wait, are you predicting a possible upset here?
No, I'm just saying, with the way Nevada's defense goes, there could be some points. This game might be higher scoring than people think. Just because the quarterback Southern Utah has. So.
Okay.
Wyoming, Montana.
This game could be interesting. I don't think it will be interesting, just because Craig Bowl, this is step one to going bowling. But this game, just because of how good Montana has been over the past however many years.
Decades.
Yeah, this could be interesting. But I think Wyoming takes this no problem.
I think with Craig Bowl, this toughness he has, he's not going to let them lose to this team.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Because Craig Bull. Also, if you have a minute, go check out. It was Ian Boyd who did a good piece for.
A fantastic piece for Craig Bull. And basically, how does he create a winning mentality to win 3 straight national championships and bring recruits to North Damn Dakota?
Private jet. And then the plays, too. Like, his play is interesting. The one play they run a lot, which will be. If they do it right here, and they should, because line for Wyoming should be okay. They have the running game to do it. And this will be a great game. Normally, when you have a fullback dive, or not fullback dive, but a lead fullback, typically they would.
It's a power eye, is what it is.
Yeah, power eye. The running back always follows the fullback, whether it's in the one slot, which is right behind the center, between center guard or guard tackle or tackle outside or tackle tight end. What they do here, and if you watch the plays they put in there, it must take them a long time to kind of find the right plays, but what basically the simple reason is they take. The fullback to go if it's basically a power eye run, fullback takes out the goes behind between the guard and tackle to make you have a big push there, but then the running back just basically goes up the middle. That's all they go behind the guard and center essentially, or they go directly behind the guard pretty much. They follow the fullback a little bit, but I don't know why that works because you would think that wouldn't work. Why would you have a fullback take out one guy when your running back's not really in the same area? But whatever it is, Craig Bull instills today just to crush whoever's there. And it works. And that's what they should do, and they have the running back, Sean Wick and DJ May, back to do that. And they should win comfortably, in my opinion. Yay or nay?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, let me actually. Well, I'll put the FBS games on later. I didn't keep the FCS games up because that's a sure win. So North Arizona, San Diego State. If nothing else, this game's on CBS Sports Network, 7 Eastern. Go read our Q&A with the Voices of Lumberjacks. It's a fun read. That guy's excited for football.
Totally. The least exciting thing about Northern Arizona football is now that they've changed their logo. To NAU, but they have like an axe within NAU, and I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
But I do like their mascot.
Oh, I love their mascot, but the fact that they don't have like an angry mascot with a, axe.
on their helmet.
Yeah, go read that. We did a Q&A with Mitch Stroham. He's been there for 15 years. Our guy Matt Main set this up, Q&A. We would have more up, but I've had stuff's going on, so I've been lacking on that. But one thing he mentioned that they do need to keep an eye on is there's a lot of good receiving core for Northern Arizona. To check out, let's see. He says look out for all the eights. Number 8, number 88, you got. These names are great. Ify Umodu. And then they have freshman Emmanuel Butler. And they have all these. Just look for that. That's the main thing I took from reading through that. This could put up some points against San Diego State's defense. So. However, there's no defense for NAU, so this could be a high-scoring affair for at least the half before San Diego State just crushes them.
Absolutely. And there should be zero repeat of SDSU falling to an FCS.
That's the only thing, yeah. There's no Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball there for Eastern Illinois, so. Fresno USC. Fox. Regular Fox.
How I was crazy in saying that UNLV shouldn't be a 23.5 spread and UNLV's going to win this?
Yes, I do.
Depending on Southern Cal, how strong they look, I am not sure I'm confident enough for Fresno State that they can cover this.
You don't? Even though Trey Madden might not play this game?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. It's SC. So they're going to have about 5 different deep running backs.
Good point. I appreciate that. And my favorite thing about USC's depth chart is?
It's actually set.
Oh, no. You remember last year, they have the Twitter feeds right next to their name.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Right. Okay, so let's go through the Twitter feeds. Do you have them up?
I do. Well, here's the thing they need to worry about, Fresno. Nelson Aguilar is probably the best wide receiver in the Pac-12.
Seeing him live twice last year, I agree with that.
And I believe one of our – I think – is it Matt going to this game? Is that correct? Or is there our guy Scott heading down to this game?
I think it's Scott heading down this game.
Scott,
I'm sure if Matt was able to get off to go to this game.
Yeah, I know Matt Kay went to the Vegas Bowl last year on the sideline and shook his head every 5 seconds. But, yeah, you got Nelson Aguilar. He's pretty simple. Nelson Ag 15. Pretty simple. Nice there. There is you got Papa Chubb, 74. Third string left guard. 6'4", 350.
Wow.
Oh, man. That might be my favorite there. And then quarterbacks, Cody Kessler. We saw him last year. That'll be tough, man. Him to Aguilar would be just a tough, difficult thing for them to cover.
I'm going to sound optimistic. I think Fresno State covers this.
Well, you know how I said Trey Madden might be injured? Well, this depth chart might be the reason why he's number 5. But yeah, they should be okay at the running back spot. I'm looking for other fun Twitter feeds here. Cody Kessler 6, that's not fun.
Ew.
Fight on 10, that's okay. Take on the school fight song a little bit. Here we go. Okay. This dude must have made this Twitter feed in high school. He's the 4-string cornerback, 4-string DB. Dillard's Island, 28. name Ryan Dillard, dude. You got it. If you're not starting cracking the 2 deep, and you're behind 3 true freshmen, you got to change that name, pal.
Yeah, seriously.
maybe put Dillard Pine, 28. And then there's also the with 2 E's. See, here's the thing. This guy must have known that his name is Twitter feed. The Elite Malik, he's a 3rd-string DE freshman, but the must have been taken, so it's THEE.
Interesting. No. It's not the Elite Malik. It's the Elite Malik. So he's calling himself the, like the old English.
No, he doesn't know that. No.
Wait, you can't. You don't think football players can be Latin classics?
Not that guy. No.
Classics majors. Okay.
Not a freshman. And then we got, that's not bad.
So, okay.
That's enough Twitter talk today.
so while we're... Wow. I really want to say that Fresno State at least covers.
I made my bold prediction of Fresno going 6-6. They're not going to win this game. There's nothing about it. They lose.
No. They're not going to win this, no.
Because after thinking about it,
if they do, I will gladly go find a Fresno State hat and buy.
Oh, definitely. I'll buy. Yeah, I will. Yes, I will buy Fresno State gear. Here's the thing. After thinking about it, Fresno, because I touched on this briefly last night, and I shouldn't do too much more. We're almost at an hour at this point. Jeez, I forget how long we do these shows for all 12 teams playing at once. But they, like I said, they lose 70% of their total offense. Five offensive players are in the NFL. They got Deron Smith, but he's not going one-on-one with Nelson Aguilar because he's a safety. Losing that much offense, and Tim Drueter as a defensive coach every step of the way, at Air Force, at Texas A&M, as a graduate assistant wherever he was at before, position coach. The reason offense, because I got Derek Carr, I got Devontae Adams last year, I got Isaiah Burst, I got Marcel Jensen, I got plenty of guys. Well, now all he got is Josh Harper. Josh Quezada running the game should be fine, but it's too much offensive is lost, and USC new coach, they'll be pumped up for 7-win Steve. I'll still keep that name. Steve Sarkisian. But they're not going to win. It'll be probably, yeah, about maybe 3 touchdowns. I think it'll be USC's going to win, but Fresno's going to find a way to cover because they'll make a couple plays.
It'll be the when the fourth strings are actually playing, right?
Oh, I see what you did there. So are they going to cover or what? What do you think?
No, they're going to cover.
Okay. I'm just going to go win-loss. I don't care about cover. I'm just asking it, but... Okay, let me just update this here. That's as lovely as we go, because we're...
All right, in the meantime, we're going to a rivalry game here, first week of the season.
Which game is that?
Out of conference rivals. UTEP, New Mexico. What the hell was that?
I'm taking a nap in that game.
Damn, dude. You sound like something else.
No, sorry. That was my attempt to
score. I thought you were talking about the state of both teams. I mean...
Sure.
Okay. So, you know what I love about this? New Mexico actually has a 7.5 point advantage on the spread.
They do?
Yes. But the over-under is 67.
What? 37-30? Can those teams score that many points?
Football, yeah.
Football Bob, what does he got for you?
And also, here's another fun stat. That's the second highest over-under of the weekend.
Baylor Southern SMU, the next one?
Yes.
It happened to be on the same page, so I took a guess.
I mean, you couldn't even looked at that, and you still would have been right.
Probably. Well, actually, it's half a point better than Troy UAB. So, yep, some reason check in. So, here's the thing about New Mexico. They get back Crucio Gongbe to run the ball. I'm assuming.
Although he's not going to be playing that first game. He's going to be suspended either half a game or the full game.
Oh, I did not hear that. So he's not going to be. Oh, I thought he was back on the team. Good to go.
Back on the team, but I think they're suspending him for the first
game. Oh, maybe we should find out.
I read that somewhere. I can't remember where I read.
Well, if he's not starting, then they have. Well, here's the thing. We know their offense will be fine with Cole Gauchy. I want to see. It's just, he's only a junior. Throw the ball with some sort of confidence. Can that be done?
He's a junior. It should be done.
Yeah. Well, here's the running game. You got Terry. This print is tiny. Terry Gibson. Crucial Gongbe is listed as the backup. I'll check on the status, but it's a game where New Mexico, if I'm correct, they bring back a decent amount of players, but the offense works fine with Gauchy in there, but if he could, they have Carlos freaking Wiggins on this team. Get him the ball.
So, the biggest question is, does New Mexico cover this game?
They might win. Is this game in UTEP? It's in Albuquerque.
Oh, it's in Albuquerque.
I don't know because UTEP.
I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say New Mexico covers.
What about when?
No. New Mexico's a favorite.
Oh, sorry. I missed that somewhere. Sorry. I think here's the reason. UTEP has Jamil Showers. He missed the last 5 games of the year. Transfer from Texas A&M. Before he got hurt, he had 11 TDs to 4 interceptions. and he can run reasonably well. I'm thinking, like, I'm reading here from MinorRush.com, he started to open up things for CSU and started to play pretty well. I think if he can build upon that Colorado State game from last year after recovering from his injury, he might be able to lead them to a victory. Because this game's going to be close. Because wasn't it last year? Didn't they? I'm trying to pull up the score last year, but wasn't it last year? If I recall, it was like a one touchdown game, back and forth the entire game.
Yes.
It ended up being 42-35. They scored the last, I think, 14 points. I think it'll be like that. They're favored by 7. I got to go New Mexico winning, but I'm not too confident that they're going to be to win this game. I'll go that route. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay.
And you already heard my story.
Yeah, you're going to pick them to win and cover.
Yep. So, last game of... No. Two more games.
Hawaii. Why didn't you pick this for your stupid upset pick?
Because, actually, I firmly believe that UNLV has a better chance.
Interesting. So, this game's 10:30 Eastern, CBS Sports Network in Hawaii. Washington loses Bishop Sankey, Austin Tavarian Jenkins. Keith Price is no longer there, but they're also starting their second quarterback because their starting quarterback got suspended for team rules.
Which Chris Peterson always had a tendency to do that at Boise State.
Sure, yeah, he's.
So this is nothing new. I'm going to go ahead and say that Hawaii covers, but they don't.
Because the line did drop from 17 to 15.
Yes.
I'm kind of going back to saying Hawaii is going to be a good team this year.
Define good.
Very competitive.
I mean, you heard Nick's funny preview.
That was days ago. He picked a win for Hawaii, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, and I came back because it's not so far-fetched. I really want it. This sounds so homerish, and there's no reason for me to say it, but I think somehow Hawaii could win this game.
Oh, God.
Hear me out. You already heard who Washington lost live from last year, right?
Yes.
Joey Iosafa, very good running back when he played last year.
You're going this route, aren't you?
Woolsey, I think I am. Woosley's a quarterback that when he played well. They have some decent wide receiving. I think, and think of last year too, that Norm Chow fired Aaron Price right before the season, the OC. I'm thinking, oh man, am I going to say this?
I'm not saying it, so you might as well say it.
They're going to cover, but it'll be single digits, but not win. Did you want me to go for the win?
I really was thinking you were going to go for the win.
I was about to say so, but I can't be stupid. You can't be. You know what I mean? You can't be that guy. I got Kiku Woosley back there, Iosafa. Their wide receiver, too many issues for me at the moment. And defensively, we saw what they did last year. Washington has a talent. They're expected to maybe challenge that North spot. They're the clear number three team in the North. So, no. I'm going Hawaii's going to... Washington's going to win. Chris Peterson's going to be 1-0. He's also familiar with Hawaii from last year. So, even though I only played him, twice, I think. Well, even before the WAC, he's quite familiar with Hawaii and even Norm Child to an extent. Hawaii's going to put a valiant effort. So, folks, if you want late-night football that first weeknight, and there's no excuse... It's not the midnight Eastern game. It's 10:30 Eastern. Come on. If you're out in East Coast, watch this game. Do you have anything you want to add to this game, perhaps, that might make it interesting?
Well, not having a quadrant system actually makes this a more competitive game.
So your official thing was lose and cover or not cover?
Lose and cover.
How close do you think this could be?
It's going to be less than 17, but it's going to be more than 10.
Okay, I think it might be like last year. It might be within like a touchdown or so. And now we get to the game. Is this the marquee game, you think? Sunday night? Sunday night football?
Yes. Okay, so before looking at the spread, what do you think the spread is?
I already know it's 6.5. Sorry.
It's actually moved down to 6.
Oh, pardon me. It moved to 6.
Hey, that's a significant half point.
If you're gambling on it, yes. All right, so this game, here's the problem with this game. It rivals Southern Methodist Baylor. Pretty much at the same time. And also, and pretty much everybody has the SEC network. Verizon Fios picked it up, so pretty much everybody has it. Unless it's on a higher tier. But I know DirecTV, it's on the low tier, so you shouldn't have to really worry about that. But on Sunday, this is a game, it's pretty equal viewership. Fox Sports 1 and SEC Network. I don't think Tennessee's making a bowl game. And like I've listened to, like I told last show, listened to the Solid Robles, Holly Anderson. She loves Truckee Keaton, Tennessee grad, all in on Utah State winning this game. But here's the thing, Utah State, my only kind of reluctancy to say they're going to win easily, they have never beaten a team like this or any.
They haven't had a marquee win under Truckee Keaton yet.
They beat Utah at home a couple years ago, but even then, that was a 6-6 Utah team, I believe.
Yeah.
We said it before.
I would say that that's been the curse of Truckee Keaton, is he hasn't had this marquee win under his belt.
Yeah, they lost to BYU twice. He should have had chances to win both. They lost to Auburn a true freshman year. Wisconsin, wasn't his fault. I will blame coaching and kicking duties, because I'll say it again, it was 3rd and long. You got about a 37-yard field goal. You're crushing the Wisconsin defensive line. They should have given it to, and they had an NFL running back in there. I believe it was Kerwin Williams, I believe. I could be wrong. But they had so many backs in the NFL. Give him a couple yards, make it a 35-yard field goal. Bam, you win. You go to the Orange Bowl instead of Northern Illinois. But he needs a marquee win because everybody loves Truckee Keaton. Everybody. It doesn't matter what team you are.
Except for ESPN.
Yeah, there's that issue.
But ESPN is having other issues we're not going to go into spiders, but basically they're just being stupid.
They're sticking with their investments.
Yeah. That's putting it mildly.
We'll go that route. Here's the thing. Tennessee also, they don't have Tyler Bray. He's gone. They, recruiting-wise, yeah, I know they have better recruiting talent than Utah State. But Utah State, Gary Anderson did a great job. Matt Wells has kept that going. Utah State's wide receiver core is deeper than we thought. Natson and Butler are going to play. There were thoughts when we talked to Isaac Draxler of scout.com that they might be suspended a half, but they are number one. On the Ronald Butler is number one. And the other guy is JoJo Natson. They're both number one. They got JUCO guys coming in who should be fine. Running back's good with Joe Hill. Offensive line's the only small issue, but even then, their defense makes up for it with potential first-round pick Kyler Frackle, got Zach Vigil, Nate Vigil, B.J. Larson out there, Brian Sweet, who's just as good as Mo Alexander, Nevin Lawson, defensive back. Last year, actually, led the team in interceptions. I think the defense will, not that it'll carry the team, but that could be the difference in this game. Defense will step up and stop Tennessee. And be fine. Even though they got Justin Worley starting as a senior, he's never really played all that much for the Volunteers.
Yeah.
Any concern? I know they're playing in Neyland Stadium, 110,000 people, all sorts of stuff. It's their big opening bonanza party. Honestly, they have.
For me, it's the run game for Utah State. I originally said the wide receivers, but we know that one of the wide receivers will be out. JoJo Natson will be back for this game.
Oh, they're both back. Ronald Butler's also going to play.
Oh, he is going to play?
They're both starting, yes.
Okay, so then the wide receiver issue is...
You're done with that? It's good to go?
Yeah, we're done with that. It's good to go. Then I guess my next concern will be...
offensive line?
Huh?
The offensive line?
Yeah. Offensive line, and I'll go ahead and say run again. Joe Hill's good, but...
He was hurt last year, and so that doesn't help. He wasn't in the whole season.
Yeah.
And there's also obligatory mention, Chucky Keaton's coming off a torn ACL. We need to bury, not to bury the top of the story there.
Chucky Keaton is bionic, man. You can't, like, no.
I don't think so. No issues, nothing, no residual effects.
I am letting my optimism take over.
From what I heard, same thing. But here's also Tennessee. They were near the bottom in total defense, yards against, 420 yards. And Bill Connolly, in his big SEC preview, sees them maybe getting to 6-6. And so it's a big name. Tennessee's a favorite, probably more, it's more home field advantage than anything else, in my opinion. I don't think this is something where, oh, it's Tennessee. They've been there forever. Butch Jones is in his second year, I want to say. They're at Tennessee, and they're projected to finish fourth in the SEC East. Let me pull it up here. I think they're fifth or fourth. Yeah, fifth in the SEC East, and it's not even close. Well behind Missouri, who's number four. And if you put them in the West, they would be even lower. I just don't think Tennessee's there to do anything special. New quarterback. They're playing a team that's experienced. They're not going to be. Utah State doesn't care. They played at BYU, pretty large size state, and they played at Wisconsin. They played hostile territories before. I don't think Tennessee's there yet, and that's why I'm going to pick Utah State to win outright.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Neyland Stadium, it's not going to be intimidating. I mean, it will be intimidating, but it's not going to be like what everybody thinks. And Utah State's just going to completely fumble the game away. I think this is going to be something where they're going to be Utah State's going to take care of business. I think they will get that marquee win.
Here's one thing I looked at right now. Rocky Top Top, their former manager, Joel Hollingsworth, still writes every now and then. He put a pretty good post up, looks like this morning, about how Tennessee's improved over the past couple years. 2012, they were just awful. Like, prime example, their red zone defense was 115th in the country in 2012. They were top 15 at number 11 last year. Their defense improved. I don't know what to do. It was 2012. Their defense was awful. It wasn't great in 2013, but particular areas they were. Like their top 30 passing yards allowed, top 30 fumbles recovered. Their defense improved quite a bit. And so if that somehow projects again, that could be an issue. But offensively, I'm trying to read this as we go. Okay, offense, here's where I think Utah State can win. They were 18th in offense in 2012. They dropped 102 with a senior quarterback. I'm trying to read this on the fly, not to sound like I don't know what I'm doing, but 100, they were 100th in red zone offense, 94th in scoring offense, 101st in first down offense. Their offense was terrible last year, and that was with a senior quarterback who's getting a shot in the NFL.
Oh, it can only go up, right?
But still, you're triple digits, man. Yeah, and there's only 128 teams in FCS football.
Hey, no, I get it.
So, yeah, this even confirms, I'm going to probably pop this on our front page momentarily, but their defense is pretty good, but it's just going to come down. Utah State's defense is going to be too much in the long run, and that's how they're going to win, and you get Utah State winning. So let's tally up our vote checks. We're already past an hour, so... Folks, this will probably be almost 90-minute shows during non-conference.
Well, were you expecting anything else?
Look at last year. And we spent about 12 minutes at the beginning discussing why college football is awesome. Which is always a good reason. Okay, here, let's put it in my results. So Utah State wins. And we're going to maybe do a challenge of sorts. Who knows? We'll figure something out. So, dude, we're totally homers. The only games we have them losing are USC and Washington. Oh, no, excuse me. I have Ole Miss winning.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, you have them losing to Ole Miss. That's where homerism comes in.
Sorry, I had to scroll down.
Okay. Look, be honest. Is it really homerism when A, half the games are FCS, and B, a lot of the other games are very winnable games for the teams?
No, but we kind of lean that way. But here's the only games that are real, you could call Utah State, Tennessee,
I wouldn't say that's complete. That's minus six.
That's close enough to, okay, non-favorite. I'll go that route then. But you got Utah State, Tennessee, Washington, Hawaii. Well, no, we have Washington winning, but I mean for lose. I guess the only crazy thing is us saying UNLV is going to somehow beat Arizona.
That's really the homerism pick right there.
And kind UNLV of and even Arizona. Yeah, and even Ole Miss, Boise State, that's a touchdown. Utah State, Tennessee's a touchdown. So no, we're not too far off. We're not that far off.
Hey,
time check.
A time check, and did we have any Twitter questions tonight?
No, I put it too late. 75 minutes, and no question. I put up too late. I do have. Let me check my Twitter really quick. No, I just got a retweet of a San Antonio Spurs signed former Aztec Josh Davis. Good for him. Who's writing basketball stuff this time of year? No, I'm kidding. Good job, Matt. That's perfectly fine. So. Do you have anything else to add? Because I'm wiped, man. 75 minutes. It's approaching 11:30 here Mountain Time. I still got to
post. I would say that you talk most of the time anyway. But
I know I talk too much. Is there anything you want to see this opening weekend? Okay. Well, we do this sometimes. Oh, also really quick, join our pick 'em pool at Yahoo. We drop one week, so go to mwcconnection.com. Sign up for that. We get about 40. No prizes, just for fun. And again, I promise, it took me 3 years to figure out how to do this correctly. This is only Mountain West games. It's not 30 or 40 games where people dropped out, including me, after like week four. So pick those games. So besides these Mountain West games, what are you most looking forward to? Are you going to watch the Wednesday night game, Abilene Christian, Georgia State?
Yes, if I get home in time.
Maybe for a few minutes.
Maybe for a few minutes.
It's early for you.
Class tomorrow, dude.
Sure, it's early for you. It's 4 Pacific time Wednesday night.
It's 4 Pacific afternoon. Time. I'm going to try.
Outside of that, what game are you looking forward to? My brother got tickets to Wisconsin, LSU, and Houston. That's a pretty amazing game. Texas A&M, South Carolina. I'm looking forward to that Thursday night before Boise State, even though I think both teams are overrated a bit.
Let's see, what games am I looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm just curious, really quick, like outside of the, we'll talk about whatever.
A&M, South Carolina, Tulane, Tulsa, Temple, Vanderbilt, Rutgers, Washington State.
Every game?
Connecticut. oh, here's a good one, Georgia, Clemson, man.
Georgia, Clemson, yeah. Florida State, Oklahoma State could be interesting.
Yes. I'm really, 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 really looking forward to the tire fire that is California Northwestern.
Interesting.
Arkansas, Auburn. There's some good games in this class.
There's some interesting games, yeah. There's enough. It's the first weekend. I'll watch as much as possible.
Exactly.
All right, so that's our show. Here's kind of our schedule. We will post these shows typically Wednesday, Sunday, because we get questions on that. We may...
Dude, there's going to be so many people criticizing our show tonight because we're just homers.
We're not fine. Screw you. Yeah, I don't care. There's 12 teams to get it cranking in 75 minutes, 80 minutes deep in analysis. Sorry, we do what we can. We'd screw around and do this for fun and provide enough insight for people who want to read less than us about certain teams. But no, we are. That's perfectly fine. I'm going to post the picks. Me and Chris, we will keep track of our picks throughout the year. We're just going to go win-loss. We're not doing cover. We'll discuss maybe if they're going to cover, but for purposes on the post, we'll put winner-loss. It's fun. That's what we'll do because we never keep track of this stuff, and it's fun to keep track of. And we may work in some interactive stuff. We may do some guests. I don't know. It's a long show. We don't want people on forever. It's because
if I have time, I'll make more quizzes.
Yeah, we got the quiz feature. We'll do that. This week, here's how we do. So for those who are new, if you've listened this long and you're new, thank you very much. But we should have mentioned
this. Bad help your soul.
We should have mentioned this at the beginning. We'll do open threads for. Normally, we'll have one thread for the whole Saturday, but with these games, we'll have an open thread Thursday for both games. Friday, we'll have an open thread every day. And feel free, and that's just a live chat in the comments. Feel free to comment about any game. It doesn't have to be the Mountain West. We will mention any game that's worth talking about. You can be talking about, it doesn't matter. Any game. We'll discuss them all. We know there's a lot of people reading the site. Thank you. A lot more people liking the Facebook page. What we want this year, participate in the comment section. Right, Chris?
Yes.
Come do that. So check us out at mwcconnection.com. Read all of we got our story stream up, about 40 stories. We'll probably have about 55 by the time this weekend is done. But football's finally here. Should we do some sort of, you did this a while ago. Do you want to repurpose your little, not to be middle, but your post you did a while back, like probably two seasons ago, about football coming back as a fan? You remember that?
Yeah, I might try. I might try something different this year.
One thing I'd recommend, if you do it, or maybe I may do something toward the Chucky Keaton aspect, but when you're thinking of the post, let's find the Raiders football music. What's it, the autumn of, what is the Raiders music?
Oakland, I don't know what you're talking about because I don't follow the Raiders at all.
If you heard NFL themes music, NFL video.
Oh, game. Oh, the, yeah.
That song. We'll embed that save. Listen to this while you read to get you in the mood.
We might actually find a link to it so you can play it.
Well, yeah, we'll maybe find someone on SoundCloud or YouTube and do that. So, again, Chris is over there in Vegas. I'm here in Utah. Jeremy, of course, if you don't know who we are. MWCConnection.com, Twitter, MWCConnection. Get Chris past 400 followers on Twitter, Greek Padre.
That'd be nice.
Football's here. Nothing else can be happier. Be lazy. Do what you want. But thanks for joining us, and check us out next week for the show. And let's hope your team does well.